Chapter 14. It was after midnight, but I pulled out my phone again and called up McAlfresh. The Irishman had said he'd help me track down whoever had followed me in the black sedan, and the men that broke into the tunnels had to be connected to the sedan.
"Hello, Eddie,"
I heard Owen's voice over my cell.
"I can't talk long. I'm about to close the deal with a young lady, if you know what I mean."
"Sorry to call so late," I said, "but someone tried to break into my place, and I'm pretty sure it's whoever's been following me."
"Do you want me to send the boys around?"
McAlfresh asked, and the jovial tone was gone from his voice. "No," I rolled my eyes. "They're long gone, but I got a picture of one on my security camera as they tried to get into the shed in my backyard. I thought I could send it to you and see if you recognize them."
"Text it to me,"
Owen replied.
"I'll see what I can do. You sure you don't want me to send a couple lads to watch the house? It's no trouble."
"Nah," I said in a firm tone. "I don't want the neighbors talking any more than they already do. I got things secure here. Don't worry. Oh, and the guy in the picture got his leg fucked up by one of my dogs. I don't know if that'll help, but it's something to keep in mind."
"Did he take anything?"
the Irishman asked in a tone of concern. "No." I shook my head, even though Owen couldn't see me. "I don't keep my valuables in the shed. It looks like they couldn't find anything and left when my wife let the dogs out."
"That's good, at least,"
McAlfresh sighed.
"So, let's take a minute to think about this. It has to be someone who would know you have something worth taking, and as far as I know, only you, me, and Meyer know that."
"Yeah," I said as I thought through it. I hadn't told anyone else about my inheritance, other than Jay, but Jay was my oldest friend, and neither of us would betray one another like that. The neighbors all thought I had a contracting job, which was where all my money supposedly came from.
"We both know Meyer wouldn't have told a soul,"
Owen went on.
"So unless you've told anyone else you know about your windfall, that just leaves me as the source of the leak."
"What?" I asked as I blinked in shock.
"I haven't told any of my buyers where the gold or jewels have been coming from,"
the dark-haired man assured me.
"I don't even know where you get it myself, but I've people working for me."
McAlfresh trailed off, and I waited for a moment. "Owen," I asked after a long pause.
"I'm thinking I should maybe clean house a little,"
the Irishman continued in a dangerous tone of voice.
"I vet my people very carefully, but when there's money involved, sometimes people can stray."
"Okay." I wasn't sure where exactly the Irishman was going with this, but the man's tone made it clear that someone was about to have a really rough day.
"You'll leave this to me,"
Owen growled.
"I suspect there might be a rat, but I promise you, I'll figure out who it is. You send me the picture, and I'll get to work right quick. No one fucks with me, boy, no one!"
"Thanks, Owen." I hung up the phone and opened the security app. I saved the still of the moment when the tall man took off his mask to my phone, and then I took a moment to zoom in and crop the image. I didn't want the bear trap or the tunnel wall to be in the picture. It looked a little grainy, but I figured Owen would just think I had a cheap security camera. I texted the picture to McAlfresh. "Hope I didn't wreck things with your lady friend," I typed.
"No worries," Owen sent back. "Ladies love an air of mystery, and an important phone call in the middle of the night gets them wondering. Don't know the fucker in the picture, but I'll find him."
"Thanks again," I typed back before I went back to Ibsith's place. Amreel and Nyla May were in the living room, and Dredd was at the door to the basement, probably because he smelled Ibsith there. "Anything?" I asked my warrior wives as I came through the door with Growler.
"Nothing,"
Nyla May shook her head.
"Dredd didn't seem to smell anything. He just wandered around the yard and marked the fence where the lilac bushes are on the other side."
"Good." I nodded. "I think we should all sleep here the next couple of days, just in case."
"That's probably best,"
Amreela conceded as she looked sadly toward where the trailer was outside. "I know you like your own space," I grinned, "but I just prefer to know that we're all here if anything happens." That night, Ibsith, Amreela, and I all slept together, while Bulra and Nyla May shared a room. The next day, I got up early, ate the breakfast my first wife made for me before the other women woke up, and went into the backyard. Then I started to rip up the fence between my yards. By 9, I had about half of the fence between the yards removed, and the Amish contractor showed up to start the back porch for the trailer.
"I see you're doing some work yourself,"
the bearded foreman said after we talked about the plans he and Ibsith had arranged for the porch. "Yeah," I grinned as I looked over at the fence. I own both properties now, so I thought it'd be nice to have just one big yard.
Nothing like lots of room for the children to run around in.
The foreman nodded.
I could have Ezekiel help you. Might make the work quicker, and I wouldn't charge you extra.
Really? I asked with a little surprise.
Oh, sure.
The Amish man smiled.
I've plenty of men with me today, and you've been a good customer. Maybe if you decide to build an addition or something, you'll think of Yoder Construction first.
Definitely. I smiled back. So with Ezekiel's help, I was able to pull up the rest of the fence and connect the yards in half the time. Ezekiel turned out to be a broad-shouldered 16-year-old, and he was a machine. By the time we were finished with the fence, the porch was almost complete, and it looked great. You can't beat the Amish for efficiency. Two big guys carried over the outdoor oven I'd wanted and started to install it, and the Nibsith came out with a tray of lemonade for the workmen. The oven woman had one of her cozy sweaters and a pair of leggings that hugged her curvy hips and legs, and I leaned over to give her a kiss on the cheek.
Oh!
My wife gasped.
It's beautiful!
Thank you, ma'am,
the foreman replied as he averted his eyes. Ibsith had a noticeable effect on the Amish workers. All the men who'd finished their work suddenly found something to do, and they made a point not to look at her. I tried not to laugh, because I didn't want to offend any of them, but I definitely saw one or two of them steal glances at my sexy wife. I went with Ibsith over to the back door of the new house after she'd handed out drinks to the workers and was looking out at the now massive yard. It might be better to keep the dogs out here at night, I said, since the break-in was still on my mind.
Really?
Ibsith replied with a little pout.
Oh, whatever you think is best, beloved. But it gets so cold, I worry about them.
It's not that cold, I assured my first wife. But I know they're probably not used to the temperature swings. I'll tell you what, I can put in a doggy door for them. It's a flap in the door where they can get in and out whenever they want. They even make ones that will only open when they sense a special thing on the dog's collar. And I can make them a big doghouse out here, with a heated floor so you'll know they won't get too cold.
You're such a good man.
Ibsith sighed as she smiled up at me. I just want you to be happy. I shrugged as I grinned back at her and wrapped my arms around her slim waist. Happy and safe. That night, I treated us all to some takeout I ordered from a local place that served a bit of everything, so everyone could get what they wanted. Once the food arrived, I let Growler and Dredd out into the yard, and the two Garms went wild. Both of the dogs dashed out of the door and ran circles around their new space. With all that room, the two could dash at top speed and get their energy out, and as I watched Growler happily chase Dredd, I smiled and refilled their food and water. Then I went back in, grabbed a few beers from the fridge, and sat down on the couch with all four ladies.
Does it bother you not to drink?
Emrila asked Ibsith while I pulled up a movie for us all to watch together.
I do miss beer.
The petite woman giggled as she opened up the bags of food and started to hand everyone their orders.
But it's not good for the baby. It will be worth it in the end, and in a little more than a year, that first beer will taste all the better.
Oh, shit! I gasped as I landed on one of my favorite old movies. Day of Flight of the Navigator. This is a great movie. The five of us ate and watched the nostalgic film. At the end, I had a grin on my face, but Amrila looked a little confused.
I know from other things we've watched that there are supposed to be other planets, but there are other people on those planets?
She asked. No one knows for sure, I said as I sipped my beer. But with how many planets there are, I would think at least some of them would have life on them.
I thought just the surface was big,
Nilame commented in her mild voice.
The gloom seemed large enough, but then I came up here and it felt endless. The idea that the stars are so far away and might have life on them, too. Well, it makes me realize how small we all really are.
It's a big universe, I nodded. The next morning, I woke up again to the smell of coffee, baked goods, and bacon. I also woke up with a naked Nilame in my arms in the master bedroom of the new house. Amrila and Nilame had agreed to let Ibsith get as much time with me as possible, so I slept with her and Nilame last night. But my first wife always seemed to be up before anyone else. As I moved my arm from under the Dolrath woman, Nilame stirred and then smiled up at me.
Good morning,
my third wife said as she stretched luxuriously, and I couldn't help but drool at her beautiful washboard stomach. Morning, I grinned back. Sorry, I was trying not to wake you.
It's fine,
she said as she sat up.
I don't want to sleep the day away.
Me either. I nodded before I got out of bed and looked in the dresser for some clean clothes. I was thinking we could do some training today.
More sword drills.
Nyla May yawned as she ran her fingers through her wealth of thick brunette hair.
You're getting quite good with a bastard sword.
I was thinking about that range Nathan mentioned, I said as I started to get dressed. I know Nyla May likes her swords, and she's a beast with them, but if she could use a gun too, she wouldn't have to sit on the sidelines so much. I could get her an AK that uses the same ammo as the Galil. We have an idea of the kinds of things Erzinger will throw at us, and the more firepower we have on our side, the better.
That's very sound thinking.
The princess agreed as she pulled off the covers and got up. I drooled a bit more as the elven woman slowly put on a thin t-shirt and a pair of little cotton panties, which showed off the firm curves of her ass. They were the kind of panties that were cut to reveal the bottom of the cheeks, and I lost my train of thought as I watched her walk over to the chair next to the bed to get the little workout shorts she'd taken off before bed.
What?
Nyla May grinned when she saw me staring at her. Just taking a moment to enjoy how fucking beautiful you are, I rumbled. The muscular woman winked at me, and then she pulled on the shorts that didn't cover much more than the panties had.
Come on, my warrior.
Nyla May giggled.
We'll need our strength for the day's work.
As the elven woman reached the bedroom door, I quickly walked over, put one arm around her six-pack abs to stop her, and gently kissed the curve of her graceful neck. You give me strength, my warrior wife. I growled as I slipped my other hand under the soft material of her shirt and caressed her firm breasts.
Eddie.
The princess sighed. I pulled Nyla May back to bed for a little early morning fun, and after she'd climaxed two times on my cock, I poured my seed deep inside of her while she enjoyed a third orgasm. Afterward, we laid in each other's arms for a few minutes before we got dressed again and went down to breakfast. Nyla May had a pinkish glow and shy smile on her face as she sat down at the table, and I went to get myself some coffee after I winked at her. Ibsith was frying up some eggs at the stove in a white tank top and a pair of skinny jeans, and with her hair up in a messy bun, my first wife looked like an Instagram model who just happened to have blue-toned skin and beautiful pointed ears.
How would you like your eggs, my king?
Ibsith asked as she deftly flipped the eggs in the pan without breaking the yolks. Just like that. I grinned as I looked down at the perfect, over-easy eggs.
Then these will be yours,
my first wife replied with a proud glow as she put them on a plate with some crispy bacon and buttered toast.
You need some more dog food?
Bora said as she came in the back door.
The bag just ran out.
The pretty orc was rocking an off-white peasant top with the ties at the collar loose, and the flirty neckline showed off her hourglass figure. The waist of the mystic's bell-bottom jeans hit Bora right at the narrow part of her waist, and she looked like a singer from one of my parents' albums from the 70s. I was dumbstruck for a moment when I saw the shaman in modern boho clothes, with her auburn hair and beachy waves. I guessed Ibsith and the orcish woman had gone on that shopping trip while I was in the gloom, and I loved the results.
Really?
Ibsith shook her head with amusement.
I just got that bag 2 days ago. I'll have to start buying them in bulk. Those two eat so much.
Bora looked up and saw me with my mouth open, and she smiled and blushed before she sat down at the table. I sat at the table too, and Amrila came down the stairs with her strawberry blonde hair wet and tousled from the shower. Today, she had on a plain black t-shirt tied at the waist and with the sleeves rolled up. The Sincari woman's dark wash jeans gave off 1950s rebel vibes, and I took a moment to enjoy my houseful of sexy, extraordinary women. Each one had something different that she brought to the dynamic, and it was a dream come true. I was one lucky guy.
Good morning, family,
the red-skinned woman said as she yawned, with her sharp canine teeth just visible between her perfect lips.
Morning, partner.
Amrila stopped to kiss me, and her lithe body arched as the electric connection between us was renewed with such a simple gesture. When the horned woman went to get some coffee for herself, I looked up and saw Bulra staring at me from across the table. The mystic immediately dropped her eyes to her plate, like she was embarrassed by how she'd watched the kiss, but her expression was unmistakable. Bora wanted that to be her. It was weird. Before I had three wives, I wouldn't have picked up on that look, but I guess I'd learned a lot about women in the last few months. Honestly, I really wanted to kiss Bora too. But as I thought about what her big, scary brother had said, I wanted to be sure I wanted her as a wife before we got emotionally involved. I want to go out today, I said, and I took a bite of bacon. There's this place where we can all go shooting, and they have an obstacle course where Nyla May and I can train and perfect our troll maneuver.
That sounds fun,
Amrila replied with a fierce grin. I also want you to try out using the old AK, I said to Amrila. I think it could help you out a lot. With all three of us using Torix bullets, we can take out more enemies, and you'll have more range. I think the strap would get in the way if you switched to your swords close up, so I'll get you a holster you can wear on your back. I reached my hand behind my head to demonstrate how she'd draw the AK. We'll stop at Nathan's on the way up. I continued, I think I saw one at his shop last time we were there.
I'll try it,
Amrila said with a skeptical look.
And I'd be able to catch up with your body count. You and Nyla may always get more kills than me. Maybe we could make a bet next fight we're in.
I'm not betting with you.
Nyla May snorted as she speared some eggs with her fork.
Oh, come on.
The horned woman pouted.
I promise I wouldn't cheat family.
I'll call and make sure they know we're coming. I chuckled, and then I looked over at Ibsith. And I want you and Bora to get some practice at the range with the high point in my Glock. I'll set you two up with an instructor.
Me too.
The orcish woman glanced up with a surprised look on her face. Yeah. I nodded and smiled at the seer. If you're going to be in a house with guns, it's important to know how to use them safely. Something about what I said made the mystic smile and blush again, and I caught Ibsith's own satisfied smile out of the corner of my eye. I called the range and set up a time for Amrila, Nyla May, and I to have the obstacle course to ourselves. They had paintball rifles they used on the course available to rent. It wouldn't be the same as real rifles, but I could have Amrila practice at the range too, so she could get comfortable with the Bulgarian AK. Then I arranged for a certified instructor to work with Ibsith and Bulra at the same time, and hung up. Their rates were pretty reasonable, so we'd have a place to practice regularly. I didn't expect Ibsith to become a fighter like Nyla May and Amrila, but she should be comfortable with the guns we had in the house, if she ever needed to use them. While I waited for the ladies to get ready, I took a moment to order 3 more pairs of Pro X headphones for next day delivery from Amazon. I thought it was time for Bakoth and Scourge to have some, and it would make it easier to communicate with them in a fight. The 3rd pair was for Zuag, and I just hoped they would fit his wide head. Then the 5 of us got into the Rubicon and headed out. Amrila and Nyla May had both tied their hair back, so it'd be out of their faces. In the rear view, I saw Ibsith in the back between Nyla May and Bora, and the petite woman looked over at the Dolrath woman's hair and then at the shaman's long brunette waves.
Can I braid your hair?
Ibsith asked the orcish woman.
Of course,
Bulra replied, and she blinked a little in surprise.
I think I have a hair tie in my purse.
The curvy elf dug through her bag. I stopped at Nathan's briefly and got some ammo in the back holster, and then I drove out to the range. The place was huge. The range was just outside of town, out in the woods. I parked the Rubicon in a large dirt parking lot, and then the 5 of us headed into the big office/range that was made to look like a log cabin. The interior had a clean, professional look to it, and there was a big counter with 2 middle-aged men who had an ex-military look to them.
Hey!
One man with a blonde flat top and a crisp black polo shirt said as we walked in.
Welcome, Norrels. How can I help you?
I have a couple of reservations under Hill, I replied as I walked up to the counter, and the ladies looked around at the paintball equipment and racks of T-shirts with Earl's Range and paintball screen printed on them. All of the handguns and rifles they had to rent were in locked cases behind the counter.
Yep.
The man with the flat top said as he typed in something on his computer. I see you have the course for a couple hours and an instructor for 2. That's me, I grinned.
All right.
Flat top typed some more.
You're free to use your own guns on the range, and I see you've prepaid for some paintball equipment. I just need to see some ID for the range instruction.
Oh. I paused because Bora didn't have any ID. My friend's from out of town, and her purse got stolen. She doesn't have any on her. I pointed to Bora, where she was looking over the T-shirts with Ibsith. When the blonde man turned to where I pointed, I saw a confused look come over his face as he noticed the woman for the first time.
We can...
The man in the black polo stammered.
She can still work at the instructor, but she won't be able to fire any guns without ID. Sorry, but the instructor can go over all the safety rules and show her how the firearms work.
I understand. I nodded.
Hey, Ted!
Flat Top shouted.
Your next group is here!
A 60-year-old-looking man with shoulder-length gray hair came over. The man looked like something out of a 70s western, like the old sheriff who'd seen too much in his time. Ted had a well-cared-for six-shooter and a holster on his hip, and his pale blue eyes were settled into a permanent squint.
Afternoon.
Ted greeted me with a slight drawl in his baritone voice. Fuck, I hope that's what I looked like when I got older. Nice to meet you, Ted, I replied as I shook the man's hand. This is Ibsith and Bulra. The appointment is for them. The older man looked over at the soft, sweet-faced elf and orc while he took in their unusual features. Then Ted shot me a look that clearly said, seriously?
Ladies.
Ted inclined his head as the 2 women walked up.
If you follow me to the range, We can go over the safety guidelines before we get started.
The brunette lady lost her ID, Ted, the man with the flat top commented. Just so you know.
No problem,
Ted replied.
Still plenty to learn. And have you ever fired a gun, ma'am?
Oh, yes.
Ipsith nodded as she smiled sweetly at the grizzled man.
My husband has taken me shooting before. I have a high-point pistol at home.
I'll get the guns out of the car real quick, I said, and I tried to hide my amusement at the look on Ted's face as he talked to my dainty wife. Once Ipsith and Bora went off for a lesson with Ted the cowboy, Amrila, Nilame, and I got our paintball gear on and went out to the course. The course out back was the best I'd ever seen. It was massive, and parts of it were in the woods. The three of us worked on our troll maneuver, but we also incorporated Amrila's use of firearms. We ran that through for a while, and we picked a big tree as the stand-in for the troll, before we moved on to moving as a group and then tactics for fighting large groups. The fact that the course incorporated the woods was a big help, since we planned to draw Ursinger's forces out into the Great Forest. The trees here were bigger, and there wasn't as much underbrush, but it was a good start. After that, we all took some time on the range. I took Amrila through all the parts of the AK and showed her how to fire it. What to watch for if it happened to misfire, and then had her practice switching mags quickly. The Zincari wasn't as quick to pick it all up as Nilame had been, but I worked with my partner until she felt comfortable with the rifle. When we got home, Nilame and I helped Amrila take the AK apart and clean it, and then we cleaned our firearms as we sat in the living room of the trailer.
That was fun!
Ipsith sighed as she cleaned the high point on the floor next to the couch.
And Ted was so nice.
Really? I asked with surprise as I looked up from the barrel of the Galil. I checked that the barrel was free of anything before I snapped it back in place and thought about the look the gray-haired man had when he had met Ipsith.
Oh, yes.
The petite woman smiled.
He asked me if I knew the parts of the gun, and I was able to answer his question right away. He said I reminded him of his granddaughter.
I think he was surprised at Ipsith's knowledge.
Bora giggled as she watched us from the armchair. I'm glad you remembered it all, I replied with pride. Well, I think we're ready then. I snapped the mag in place, and I was ready to make Ursinger pay for all he had done to my first wife.